Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number two, Darren Donick and Chase. Willie Donick, Darren McFarland here with you. Brad Hopkins, and bottom me. Of the hour. Yeah. What do I say? Did I forget you, Chase?
You did.
Darren Donick. Did I say Darren Donick and Chase at least?
I think you
Holy
did that.
Cow. Good
yeah.
grief.
It's all right. It's fine.
The man that needs no introduction, Chase McCabe.
The play is under further review.
Lack of focus. Well, we've got Brad Hopkins coming up at 11:30. We'll get some offensive line insight with the loss of Taylor Lewan. How would the Titans' offensive line adjust? Charlie Batch at noon. Some things to talk about with the Titans. We talked World Series some in the last hour. We just talked about the big story that has come down since our show started. Tua Tagovailoa will get the start for the Dolphins in their next game. Also, just sort of an afterthought, and this is sort of an interesting theme that Jeff Fisher sort of brought to light, but I've been noticing it as well. The biggest story for the Titans nationally was the COVID outbreak and what's going to happen and what are the ramifications going to be, what's the punishment going to be, way more so than the 5-0 start. But it was interesting. The commissioner said what he said last Tuesday before they played the Bills, and he did not definitively say there will be no punishments, but you could tell right then and there with the statement that nothing big was coming. And somewhere in here, the Dan Grazianos, the Adam Schefters, they reported this morning there will be no punishment officially. So isn't it interesting for the national reporters, Chase, to get that story? And those guys were all over the Titans every day during the issue. And, of course, once this is in there, not a story, right? It's not right. Like they're writing big articles on, boy, we jumped all over the Titans and there's no punishment. That's a story. But you won't see,
totally a story.
You won't really see them comment much on it. And the one I'm really particularly interested in is Schefter, because he was the one that really wrote a scathing article with some details on what the league suspected. Right? So he reported it, and now that it's not a story, now that there's nothing's come of it, what happens? I'd love to hear Adam Schefter explain himself on what happened between the time he wrote the article and now. Did he jump the gun on some things? How was the reporting? I'm sure he would stand by what he wrote, but where did they change their view? I think that should be a story. I think he should write a story on that, just like he wrote the first story.
Yeah, and he actually, yesterday afternoon, because I heard Jared and Floyd talking about this, he put out, NFL informed the Titans that their review now has concluded. Team was fully cooperative, inspected facility, and found it to be in compliance. There were incidents of people not wearing masks. There was insufficient communication regarding player workouts outside the facility. Individuals will not be disciplined. There is no discussion of forfeiture or draft picks. Titans organization will face a potential fine. That was yesterday afternoon that Schefter put that out there. And I completely agree with you that, okay, I understand that you have sources and there are certain steps in reporting, and he was just reporting what he was being told. But that article, and then we've talked to a ton of people that were saying, yeah, well, you know, I've heard that the hammer's coming down and, you know, the Titans are going to get it. And then all of a sudden the league's like, nah, they're good. You know, so I do think there should be some sort of answer for, okay, not necessarily revealing your sources, but what led you down that path to make you think that the Titans were going to get blasted? Because that's what we talked about for 2 weeks, and then now the league is going, no, they're not.
Well, it's more, I would have a lot of respect for Adam Schefter for saying, maybe we jumped the gun a little bit in the assumption. There was an assumption that there was going to be heavy penalties, right? From Schefter, from
sure.
league sources, right? That was the speculation. I'd just love to have him go back through, because it's a whirlwind for him. His tendency is just going right on to the next story, right? What's the next story? And what's the next tweet I'm going to put out there? And he is obviously as plugged in as any league reporter that there is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. And I'm not knocking his credentials or anything, but I would like to see him stop for a minute and say, wait a minute here. I don't know if I would, you know, even if he doesn't say, I got it wrong, let me explain what happened between the time I wrote this article that absolutely had the Titans dead to rights.
But can he do that?
Why not?
Because then you're revealing your sources.
No, you're not. He doesn't have to reveal his sources.
Well, you're saying you'd have to say so-and-so told. I mean, this is how this works.
I got some bad info?
Well, then he's calling out his source. That's what I'm getting.
Yeah,
he's calling out his sources.
He's not. He's never. We don't know who the source is.
Right, but they know.
Or the league changed their tune. The league changed their tune.
I will say this. You guys know, I took a pretty hard stance against the Titans last week and said this is not passing the smell test. Or whenever we had that conversation, when everything kind of shifted quickly. I guess it was at the beginning of last week, right? So I guess it was about a week ago. And I was like, this is not passing the smell test. And if you remember, it was. So it was a week ago because we had Tim Hasselbeck on the very next day, which is normally on Wednesdays at high noon. And he said the word that keeps standing out to me is universally throughout NFL circles, like all their insiders, Chris Mortensen, Adam Schefter, all their people, all their NFL Live people, all their people at ESPN that have NFL sources, they're all, he said the word universally, they all were thinking the same thing. And this is where I go back to, I said something's not passing the smell test because I know how this works behind the scenes. So now it has shifted the other way. So now I want to know how that happens. I want to know how everybody has this opinion where Tim Hasselbeck can come on and say universally, and guys like Adam Schefter, look, Adam Schefter does not just go on there and just free will it. He's not that guy. He's getting told what to say. He is talking to people and they are walking through to him. They are giving him inside information. Mike Florio, I like Mike, but he's a little bit more of a, I don't want to say freewheeling because he's obviously got contacts, but he's more, look, Pro Football Focus, that Pro Football Talk, that whole thing, not Focus, Pro Football Talk was for years, it got its legs because it was a gossip site, right, about the league. So he's been linked, and he's made himself a ton of money, so credit to him, but he's been linked to a gossip site for a long time. I'm not saying the info was bad. I'm just saying it was a gossip site. But still, he's got insiders. Charles Robinson, I know it was went on our morning show. We know Mike Florio went on the afternoon show on our station. These people have contacts. So I want to know how in the world does it happen where all these – everybody on the outside of this market is pointing the finger at the Titans and saying, they're in trouble, and we know they have not been doing the proper things, and boy, the league is going to get them. How does everybody get on that page, and then the NFL shows up to Nashville and comes out and says, yeah, you know, we're going to give you a fine, and that's it. Nothing else to see here. I just want to know how that happens because that typically is not how it happens.
But that's why I bring it up. If I were a reporter, I'd want to try to clarify some things. I'd feel bad.
But how do
I don't know how you feel. I don't know how Adam
bus.
Schefter feels. I would feel really bad if I wrote an article like that and then nothing happened. I'd want to know why. I want to explain myself.
Okay, if you're
for my own credibility and for my own peace of mind.
Do you get told stuff from inside walls? Yes, you do.
Yes.
Okay. So if you had to backpedal and backtrack, how do you do that knowing where you got the information without, you know,
revealing
divulging where
yeah.
you're right? How do you do that? You can't come out and say, well, they told me. The organization told me. What do you want me to do? Like, you can't do that. The organization knows who you're talking about. The people you've been talking to know who you're talking about. Yeah, you didn't say name them by name, but how do you go out publicly and say, but they told me. This is what they were telling me.
Right. I think the answer is pretty clear what happened. I think the league started off with a stance of the Titans must have screwed up a bunch of stuff. And then when they went and looked a little closer, they started realizing that it's way more complicated.
You don't go from an opinion to universally the whole league going, they're in big trouble. We're hearing some really naughty stuff. You just presented that as the league said, they must have messed up. That's an opinion. They must have messed up. It doesn't get to all these reports on just an opinion of, they've been bad boys in Nashville. Somebody was saying something.
Yes, I that's what I'm telling you. I think the league really did think. I think they prejudged what they thought they were going to find when they went in there. It's the only conclusion I can draw. But that didn't stop the absolute piling on and the assumption of guilt before it played out. And I just think that's, in retrospect, it's pretty unfair to the Titans, because I think there's a lot of national people still that have stigmatized the Titans for being screw-ups and they got away with it somehow, right?
You still have an underlying thought. That opinion if somebody isn't telling you or you don't know something? How do you still have that opinion?
I don't know. What are you trying to say? That the league really did think that the Titans screwed up and they just don't want to deal with, like, what's your take on?
I'm saying, how can you, you're painting it as everybody just had it. They just formed their own opinions that the Titans were screwing things up. Like this is not about opinions. They had to have been told something for people to get on the same page to go out. By the way,
the people that were told weren't there. They didn't do the national platforms.
You sent out people on national platforms to roast the Titans. Think about that. You don't do that on an opinion. You send out people on national platforms to absolutely lay the hammer on the Titans on national big platforms. On an opinion? Like they must have done something wrong? No. That's not how it works.
It shouldn't be how it works, but I think it was. I think some people saw some pictures people from the league saw some pictures and made judgments and assessments on what was happening based on some pictures. And I think the people that came in and did the investigation found that it was not that simple, that it was a very complicated set of circumstances, and that some of the protocols could have been, and have been adjusted, amended, etc., because this is a really tricky thing that we're dealing with right now. I think that's what happened. I think there was a jump to conclusion based on some pictures and some things, and it turned out that it wasn't as much there, that this is a lot more complicated than they wanted to believe at the start.
They deserve to get roasted.
And that's what I'm saying. If I'm Adam Schefter, that needs to be written.
Because he only takes the league side.
He's not allowed to disagree with the league.
Because that's where he gets his breaking news, and that's what he's known for, and that's why he gets paid millions of dollars.
But that's wrong.
But he's reporting. So this is what I think. Because you guys know, I think that there's a guy in every organization, or a person in every organization that they know. They're just in the know. They are in the circle. And it's almost like you get everybody packed in a cafeteria, and Bob's over here talking to Jim, and it's like, oh, well, this is what I've heard. We had a meeting this morning, and so-and-so from the league said this, and they're all talking to each other, and then here come the insiders, the TV insiders, and it's like, hey, what'd you hear? Oh, yeah? Okay, well, I heard that from so-and-so, and so that matches up, and that's why they make a ton of money to do what they do. I'm not saying that Schefter or whoever, that they've done it right, that clearly they were reporting things that they were hearing in an ongoing investigation. Because if the people that are talking to them come out and they say, well, this is what's going on, they're in trouble because it's an ongoing investigation. So they do their gossip, they do their talking through these insiders. And yeah, I agree that it would be nice to have some clarification from Adam Schefter or these other reporters of exactly what they heard. But as Darren stated, they're not going to do that.
They're not going to do it.
Because and they deserve can't. Because they would
Willie,
lose their
I'm
source.
I'm with you. Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. Look, I'm telling you right now, I've changed – because of the way this whole thing has played out, I'm now going, the Titans deserve an apology. And wherever that came from, wherever this brush fire, however it got started, that turned into a wildfire.
It started with Schefter. I don't think there's any question, is there?
No, I'm saying where did – it has to come. It didn't come from Schefter. Schefter was the mouthpiece.
It was an executive.
Where did
or
it come from? Wherever it came from, if that is a league source, the league deserves to get pounded publicly. But it's not going to happen because these guys are not going to roll those guys under the bus because that's how they break information. That's how they get paid millions of dollars because they have those sources that give them information that they get on those platforms and they break. And so the only way to absolutely scold a league source or the league for this is to bust open and say, who was doing all this? And that's never going to happen. I'm with you. I'm just telling you it's not going to happen. And it deserves – like now the fingers need to be pointed the other direction because I don't know whoever was doing this had bad information – and now they deserve to get pounded. That's how this stuff started. Bad information.
But there's nobody who can pound them other than the media.
Exactly. And they're not going to do it because
that's
their sources.
And that's wrong. That's wrong. I'm not saying you don't have to come out and pound them. There's a way you can do it tactfully and say, we gave the Titans a raw deal here. Right? We stigmatized them. We painted them in a corner. We dumped all over them and made assumptions that did not turn out to be entirely true. And it was a lot more complicated than we wanted to think. And it was not as simple as they screwed up all the protocols. That's all you got to say. I just want to see that. But they're just going to go on to the next story.
Right. I mean, because this isn't the first time that that's happened, and it's not going to be the last time. I mean, because if the league's like, listen, we talked to the Titans, we settled it with the Titans, we said this is what we found out, and now we move on. And the Titans are going to have to move on because they have to move on.
I'm sure they don't want to. I'm sure John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, my guests behind the scenes and executives for the Titans, are ticked.
Sure.
Because
they have every right to be.
They were absolutely pounded in the media for, as you guys know, for a good week or close to it.
And it wasn't. It was nationally and locally. I mean, there were, you know. They were getting it from all angles, but they John Robinson had that press conference and was emotional. You could tell that it was affecting him, you know, from a personal standpoint. And I thought he was very honest in how he answered questions that he could answer. But at the same time, he walked up to the Zoom podium with one arm tied behind his back because the league, you know, had not revealed anything yet. I mean, this took a long time for them to come up with any sort of conclusion. And you also wonder of how the league works that they're in, as they said, there were some things that the Titans did wrong, the mask stuff and, you know, some little things. Do they look at it as, well, they got their punishment because they had to go through this for 2 weeks. And I think they understand where they messed up. We understand where we messed up. And now we just move on. I don't know if the league is thinking that way, but
here's an idea. Maybe somebody shouldn't have jumped the gun to put that stuff out there because
right.
to me,
that's what I'm
you
saying.
Have
they
to
made
have
assumptions before they were
strong. Right, you have to have a pretty strong assumption or pretty strong something to get that out on a national platform and to be that wrong.
Because that set the tone. The Schefter article set the tone, and then from there, once the story started leaking out about the workouts, then you had people all over the country really jumping on them,
yep.
right? Because it and I'll admit, it didn't look good. I was concerned. I was
yeah, it
thinking,
didn't look good at
well,
all.
How could you have thought anything else,
right.
really? I mean, you didn't have a choice but to think that.
But that's why that's why I think in the aftermath, I understand why everything happened the way it did. Right? But now I think there just needs to be a moment where some people in the media, national media especially, say, we kind of jumped the gun.
Oh, I agree with you 100%, but it'll never happen.
Right.
I
no,
agree
they've just
with
turned
you
the page. But what that does is keeps a suspicion out there there's still a suspicion from a lot of people way away from here that they got away with it, man. You know that they just didn't want to admit. You know, they're just going to stay with that original thought because they were judged by that.
How could you get away with it if the league came in and did an investigation? I mean, they came in and did a thorough investigation, right. And that's what they came away with. How did they get away? What did they get away with? Other than, yeah, we know that there was obviously some issues with masks and stuff, so they're going to get fined. And so, what did they get away with? How could you still have? See, that's what I'm saying. Where is this getting hatched from? Where is that mindset coming from? What do they know? Why would you think like that? Who's putting that in your head, right? That's what I want to know. It doesn't match up, Willie. That's why I said what I did last week, because this whole thing doesn't match up. I know how this works behind the scenes, and it doesn't match up. I don't know how you could feel that way unless you knew something. Like, you can't just feel that strongly about an opinion.
I thought they knew something, that when they looked at it closer and investigated it fully, it did not turn into what they thought.
Then you can't say they got away with something, right? How do you say they got away with something if they do a thorough investigation?
It's a perception that who got away with something? The Titans didn't.
You're
do
saying that people are still going.
I think there are a lot of national
people
media
out there
people
that
are, still think they got
right,
away with.
That's
stuff.
What I'm saying. How do you still have that?
It's a perception. It's a perception. You know how some people don't buy the explanation for some things. They just already have their mind made up because of
right.
the initial
then you're not
assumption
that, yeah.
that they made.
Okay, that's fine. You're not going to.
I think it would help, though. I think it would help.
I mean, we know some of those people. Like, you could have pictures. Yeah. That yeah. It's right there, black and white, and they're going to go, no, that's fake.
Yeah, that's true. Let's go to Nate on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate, what's up?
My thing is, I think the league was so upset with Titans that the 2 weeks had to be rescheduled. It was more than they wanted. So they just assumed that all this happened. They threw it out. They did the investigation and was like, oh, yeah, we were wrong. But they, like you said, they're never going to say that. And I think that they, with the memo being put out before the investigation saying that, hey, if you majorly screw up, it's on you. Our protocols are foolproof, basically. They didn't say that word for word, but that's basically what they meant. I think that's why all of this had just come out, because they were just convinced for some reason. So
I just don't understand that. All right, thank you for the phone call. I would be furious if I were the Titans. Furious. If this is,
and
you
they
know,
probably they might be.
Well,
but
I think they're using
the
it
thing
to
that
motivate
stinks,
themselves.
You
I
know
think,
what stinks?
Is how they're trying to channel it.
Here's what stinks, Chase and Willie. There's nothing you can do about it, because it's just like the CYA for the reporter. I mean, any of the reporters. You can't call out the league. You can't call out sources or call out the league as much as you'd like to. And that's right. The only way you could truly feel better about it, if you feel like you've been wronged, is to just flat out come out and just pound them. And that's not going to happen.
Because they are the mighty National Football League.
I'll tell you what, we know that a Floyd Reese, a Jeff Fisher in particular, they had their ways. And I'll give you an example. If you wanted to, and I don't think Vrabel is this kind of guy, I don't think he cares that much. I think he's fine channeling it to his team, saying this is what we're going to use to motivate. But Jeff Fisher would have had the ability to go to a trusted writer and say, hey, I wouldn't mind telling our side of the story to you anonymously here, and you can sort of call out others, you know, maybe somebody who's competing with Adam Schefter, to say, hey, these reporters got it wrong. The league jumped the gun, and the Titans got completely painted into a corner and given a stigma when it wasn't true. You know what I mean? Like Jeff Fisher had the ability
to do that. Jeff Fisher would have done that.
He
Mike
absolutely
Vrabel is not
had
to.
The way to do it. Mike Vrabel yes. doesn't roll that.
Jeff
like
Fisher
that.
Will do, would have done that for sure. All right, we'll come back. Long time left tackle for the Titans, Brad Hopkins on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Tuesday. The Big Ten is back Friday night, Fighting Illini in Wisconsin. To break down that game, quarter by quarter, play by play, former left tackle, stalwart with the Oilers/Titans, Brad Hopkins is on the line with us. No, that's not actually why we brought him on, to break down
B-hop.
Illinois and Wisconsin.
Oh,
B-hop.
No, that's what we're doing.
Stick to the plan.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Are you excited that Big Ten football's back?
For those kids that put so much hard work, blood, sweat, and tears into at least putting themselves in a position for the NFL to see them and have their season canceled, yes.
Yeah.
For those smaller colleges that could use that check that the Big Ten provides on a yearly basis to keep them in out of the red, yes. So there's a lot that goes into that, not just them being able to play sports and keeping athletes healthy and safe. I understand that, but they face no less peril than the regular Joe that either wants to go to work but has no job to go to, or just basically doesn't mind sitting at home because the doors are closed at his office. So it's a conundrum we're all facing right now.
How do you think it's going to look? They're starting up their season at the end of October. How do you think it's going to look starting Friday night?
Well, I think, it's going to be a streamlined version. Obviously, there's not going to be a lot of, interconference play, which, would make it at least seem a little more centrally focused on, what those guys are able to do within their own divisions, right? I just think that as if they can compete for a national championship, it still keeps some of the shine and luster to the programs that have made strides over the past couple of years. The Big Ten needs Nebraska to be strong. Sure, it's great to have Minnesota step into a program, and Iowa's always consistent. But how about if they had someone else to fight for the eastern side of the division other than Ohio State or Michigan? It would just add parallels to the division that could definitely use some strength on the west side. They've invested a lot in Champaign to be competitive and win Chicago in the recruiting battle. Lovie Smith has won a Super Bowl up there in that city. So why should he lose, those top recruits to Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Northwestern, Iowa? But he is. And until they create a facility and give them a chance to compete, it's hard. But they still need some sort of complement to make the trip to Indianapolis worth it, because for the most part, if it ain't Ohio State or Michigan that are vying for the Big Ten championship, the Big Ten doesn't get to throw its hat into the ring of a national championship. It just won't even be in that discussion.
Yeah. How difficult of a challenge are the Titans facing with Taylor Lewan being out the rest of the way?
Well, when it's going to get hairy is if you're in passing down situations, because I'm going to tell you what, bro, both of these guys have struggled on the edges. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a former tackle, but it's obvious. J.J. Watt moved over to the left side when Taylor went out for a reason.
Yep.
It paid off. Sack and a fumble. That's going to happen on a regular basis if you're in situations where Ryan Tannehill has to extend the play within the pocket. The pocket won't have that kind of time for him to let routes develop like that, especially when you need explosive plays and you need to get back in the ball game. So that makes the run game that much more imperative. If you can control the line of scrimmage and stay in play action situations where the defense is left on its heels because they don't know if you're passing or running the ball, that's to your advantage. You can hit big strikes like that. Corey Davis has the ability to get down the field. A.J. Brown can control stuff underneath if need be. We've seen a lot of use of the tight ends, even though Johnny went out in that game. Berkster came in and got 113 yards. Why? Because Art loves the tight end. So we can find ways to be creative, but you can't in 3rd and 10, 3rd and 15. There's not a lot of play calls that are designed to convert those kind of 3rd downs. But as long as they can keep feeding the beast, letting this
flipping left tackle playing running back come downhill at you, then they have the ability to stay on the field, convert third down, move the chains, and keep Ryan Tannehill safe.
He doesn't run like a left tackle when he gets in open space, I can tell you that.
What did they say? He ran 21.6 miles an hour last night or something like that?
Yeah, it's incredible to watch.
New world.
That's unbelievable.
Dash, Darren. I don't think that he's faster than Lamar Jackson. They said he was in the open field. But,
I'm not sure about that. But
yeah.
You played with Bruce, and he moved all around. And so they're exploring all the options, you know, and maybe – if it, you know, it won't probably be initially, but at some point, you don't know how this is going to play out. Maybe they have to move a guard. You know, Saffold has played tackle. What goes into? I know you didn't do. You were a stalwart at left tackle, but guys you played with that moved around guard to tackle, is that a big deal? Not a big deal.
Justin Hartwig,
yes,
came as a tackle, moved to guard, played center. For us.
Yeah.
Kevin Long was a guard. Ended up playing center in the Super Bowl for us. Bruce, like you said, Bruce was all pro at four of the five positions up front. So moving around, I wanted to play center when I got into the last two or three years of my career.
Really?
Because, heck yeah, because you're protected on both sides.
I'm Aren't not you too big field. To be a center?
Yeah. Justin was taller than me.
Was he?
It's
I didn't remember.
For a guy, you're right. You're right. When you're talking about, you know, 6'2", 350-pound nose guards, you know, or Aaron Donald, who's 6'1", that play with extreme leverage, I mean, sure, it's a disadvantage for any interior guy to be tall. But if you're an athlete, if you've got, you know, pliable muscles, you can get low, you're flexible, and you can do that. But, you know, being in open space at 36 years old, whew, that can be perilous. So I wanted to get inside Ross protected by the guards on either side, you know?
I don't think I've ever heard you say that before,
I wanted to play center.
I was taking center snaps in practice. I was running the scouts, and you know how numbers get low, you know, toward the end of the season, especially guys go on IR. You know, you're running kind of thin. You just jump in when you can. We saw the Titans coaches, you know, playing certain situations for their guys to get ready, right? Well, shoot, I was snapping the ball back there to you know, the second-string quarterback just so we could give them a look. And I thought, shoot, this is nice in here.
I'm not on an island by myself anymore.
Exactly. I'm out over here telling Steve to throw the damn ball. I'm up here, you know, I just snap it to him. I'm good. Good in here.
We're talking to Brad Hopkins, longtime Tennessee Titans left tackle. And so, Brad, if it were you, now, of course, you're not in the room and you don't know all the ins and outs of these guys, but do you have a sense of what would be the most logical thing to do from where you sit? Because Dennis Kelly has played both tackles. Like, how hard is it? Just let's start with the Dennis Kelly moving from one side to the other side. How difficult is it, even for a guy that's done it?
Well, I will say, having been thrust in a situation in the middle of a game, it's hard. You know, you can't expect a guy that's going to stay on the sideline sipping Gatorade. You know, all of a sudden Taylor's laying on the field and thinking, oh, crap, I got to start stretching. You know what I mean? So that's one thing. Either Dennis or Ty is going to have a week of practice, you know, going through being with the ones, you know, the tempo of it, the flow of it, hearing Ryan's calls, being an extensive part of the game plan. That'll give him, either one of them, more time to prepare. They'll be better than they were from what we saw this weekend. But it still doesn't change the overall base skill set. You know, Ty is not Taylor. Dennis is not Taylor. And if Taylor's injury extends past August, you know, the reality is you might need to start thinking about some successors, just the way the business goes. And if your left tackle is a liability, it's going to hurt you. Shoot, I mean, how many times can they run 12 personnel? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
So put two tight ends in the game so both of you guys are protected.
Because you're right. So they need protection for Sombrio if they're going to keep him there. So do you have a strong opinion one way or the other of what you might do? Is it worth trying to switch sides with the two tackles, or would you try to keep it intact and with the idea that, okay, my game plan is going to be to help him all day long?
Don't disrupt what you already started the game, which is Nate and Dennis getting on the same page. They've got a nice rapport going. You know what I'm saying? Now you're going to switch that. You know, And then now you got two situations to deal with. You've got whoever's going to replace Dennis, them trying to get on the same page as Nate, and then you've got now Dennis trying to get on the same page as Roger. If you just left the right side as it is and then let Ty work his way through practice, maybe it's been a couple of weeks of just, you know, learning and protecting him. Maybe the left side is the strong side for a couple of weeks. You know what I mean? Or back chips on his way out onto the left side, or they slide to the left side. Protect him in any way you can, but I don't think that you flip-flop personnel. I just think that you let Ty work his way into getting comfortable and just doing what you can in the run game and play action to stay on the field.
Brad Hopkins is with us, former Titans left tackle and 102.5 The Game alum as well. Always good to have him on. So the rookie Isaiah Wilson, his first-round pick, you hear that and you go, okay, well, he should be a factor here. He should be playing. Obviously, there were some conditioning things. He was on the COVID list. There was a lot stacked against him. But what should be expected of that young man if and when he is available to play for this team?
So Isaiah came into his career like I did, grossly overweight, not prepared mentally. The struggle is real. As the 13th pick, I didn't have the option to just, you know, kind of figure it out. You know, I beat out Kevin Donnelly for the left tackle spot, and I was baptized by fire. And it wasn't comfortable. I remember John McClain saying that I was a bust. I remember the writers talking about my struggle from week to week, even though we won 11 straight games and went into the playoffs. I don't know how the hell I made the all-rookie team, but I did. It wasn't easy. Unless there's some sort of drastic, you know, sense of urgency that Isaiah all of a sudden experiences, he's going to struggle and do the same things, and they can't afford that. So unless someone has grabbed him by the cheeks and said, hey, look here, bro, we need you to grow up and grow up fast, I say you stick with Ty and let it work itself out. Now, I know that he's, you know, first-round pick, and I'm not even sure what number he was in the whole deal, but, you know, the expectation was for him to at least see some action. But at 350 pounds, how much of that is legit? Do you need to play at that? Can you play the fourth quarter like you played the first quarter? Are you ready to do that? If not, then you're going to be a liability to this offense, you know? So I know the future may be bright for this young man, but he didn't come into it mentally or physically prepared.
How do you, and do you ever, shake the whole, I'm a first-round pick, I have to play like a first-round pick, when in reality – you know, and I know I've had the conversation with Derek that was a fourth-round pick. It's completely different, that you just have to go out and do your job and play and not worry about where you were drafted. But did you ever shake that, or is it possible to do?
It goes with you your entire career, because where you were picked in the draft sets the level of expectation. I've had to talk to so many people about Bryson being inactive because he's a fourth-round pick. There are a lot of guys that are in the fourth round that don't see the field until maybe years two or three. And Bryson happens to be behind some really good tight ends out there between Everett and Higbee. They're doing the damn thing. You know, and you know Sean loves the tight end in his offense. So it makes sense for Bryson to still be inactive. But he's going to get his shot. And I just tell him every time just to be ready when it comes. But the expectation for him isn't near what it was, like it was for me, at the 13th pick. So what that comes along with me is, well, that dude was a first rounder. Is he living up to being a first round pick? Is he living up to being a top 15 pick in a draft? If not, then there's things that are said. You know what I mean? Like, this dude was picking first round? What? You know what I mean? Or, man, that dude was first rounder for real. You know what I mean? That goes with you forever.
And we talk about that with Corey Davis. he's a prime example. And, you know, we all have opinions on this show. He was the fifth overall pick, and he hadn't played like the fifth overall pick. Now, has he had a really good start to this year? Sure. He's helped them win some games. He's been a big part of that. But like in my opinion, and you tell me if you agree or disagree, he's learned to coexist with the fact that he was the fifth overall pick, and he's now kind of putting it aside and just going out and doing his job.
Van Jefferson was the first pick of the Rams draft, right? Van Jefferson has seen maybe 20 or 30 snaps in the regular season games. He's doing a really good job. There are some guys that don't see the field immediately. You know, that it does take them a little bit of time to process, to feel comfortable in what they're doing, you know, to really then put their stamp on it and go on to be professionals. And, you know, the NFL, it doesn't give you that timetable. You know what I mean? It doesn't give you the luxury of figuring it out on your own. You know, you put in there, and if you can do it, you can do it. If you can't, you're out. You know, that's the unfortunate part. But if you can hang on long enough, and sure, Corey probably got awakened, Chase, by the fact that they didn't pick up that rookie option, right? And with that reality, like, you know, I need to step my game up or do something that's going to help me. You can put some good tape out there for the team that does take a chance on me next. But either way, it just takes some time for some players. But I still think that Corey Davis is going to be a very, very productive receiver in years to come.
You brought up Bryson being with the Rams. Your story is different from his story, but how much have you been able to kind of look at different moments, whether it's a conversation with a Bruce Matthews or a Mike Munchak when you needed it, and relay some of that to him as he's going through his process?
Yeah, for everybody it's different. You know, I was drafted, you know, and played 10 years alongside of a Hall of Famer. The guy I got drafted next to when I came in as a rookie is also a Hall of Famer, Mike Munchak, went on to be our coach. You know, Bryson's situation is not that. But what I can articulate to him are some of the struggles that I had and how those struggles poured into me to make me who I am. So everything he's going through right now are pieces of who Bryson is to become, you know? And I just constantly remind him, and everybody else too that I talk to, that, you know, a father would only want his son to be as good as he meant to be. And that's all it is. I mean, that's all I can do, is be there when he needs me, and just watch his journey like my dad did me.
So John McClain called you a bust?
Sure did. Regularly.
That guy will never make it in the business.
But I've also since had him on our shows on SiriusXM, and we have a great time. Because, you know, he didn't see me there going on to a couple of Pro Bowls, being an All-Pro, and us getting to the Super Bowl and all this other stuff, nor could he foresee that.
Yeah.
But what he was seeing in this young kid that looked like Isaiah Wilson, right? I was 346 pounds. I'm 246 now.
I was going to say, that was probably 100 pounds ago, wasn't it?
100 pounds ago, Darren, 100 pounds ago. And the thing is, I play the first quarter hell on wheels, right? But then I'm exhausted. I'm spent. I'm breaking character. I've screwed my technique up because I'm exhausted. John McAvoy in college used to tell us, fatigue makes cowards of us all. And it's true. So you got to, if you can get that bugaboo under control, then you've got a lot to work with.
Yeah. Hey, good stuff as always. Always good to hear from you. Continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
You guys have a great afternoon.
All right, you too. Brad Hopkins, long-time left tackle for the Oilers/Titans. He was drafted first round in 93, is that right?
Yep.
So 27 years ago, John McClain called him a butt of colossal bust for the then Houston Oilers. That's pretty funny. All right, we'll step away quickly, come back, and wrap up the second hour. Charlie Batch to start the third hour. Darren Donick and Chase, that's next.
Seem like the whole city go against me. Every time I'm in the street, I hear yak, 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 yak.
Good stuff from Brad Hopkins. Had a good show. Kirk Casale joined us in the first hour talking about the World Series. Brad Hopkins talking about the offensive line for the Titans. We'll have Charlie Batch to learn a little bit more about the Steelers, the opponent. Next up, 2-5-0 teams will clash at Nissan Stadium on Sunday. So we'll talk to Charlie Batch to start the third hour. Also, Derek Mason in the fourth and final hour, then Mitch Light from The Athletic to talk some college football and the SEC. So a lot of things to get to before we get out of here on this Tuesday. I think they're going to start one way, and I believe it's going to be a work in progress, right? I don't think that's going out on a limb. I just think that they're probably going to stick with Ty Sombrello, but
I think it's Sombrello.
Whatever.
According to
whatevs.
Sombrello pad.
Sombrello?
Sombrello, yeah.
I think, according to
Wikipedia, which is always a dangerous thing, right? That's what it says in there.
I thought
Brad, though, made a very compelling argument as to why you would stay with Sombrello on the left side. And he said, and it's a little bit like in hockey, if you lose your left wing, and you have a guy that's sitting out that you can plug in on that left wing and keep the other three lines the same, then you're only messing with one line. Whereas if you take a guy from your first line and put him on the second line to replace the guy, then you got to put a guy from the fourth line up to the first line. So then all of a sudden you have three lines that look different. I think it's the same principle here. There is an argument. Brad said the chemistry on the right side between Dennis Kelly and Nate Davis is something that you might want to preserve. That's an argument to keep some Brilo on the left side and give him some help and know that you're going to have to game plan and protect him because he's not the greatest left tackle. He is a backup that you're trying to get the most out of. I thought it was a good argument by Brad. I hadn't thought about it all the way through like that. Do you guys agree or disagree? Because, Darren, I think your first thought was to switch Kelly to the other side, right?
Considering the opponent. It's all about the opponent. If they were playing the Jets, a different story. But they're playing, if they're playing the Jags, different story. But you're playing the number one defense in the league. And I think they have the most sacks in the league. So they're going to get after you. They present a lot of problems. And so that's where I was going on. It's the opponent, and I'm not sure. I know he's got experience in the league. It's not like he's a rookie. I mean, he came from, the Falcons last year,
yeah,
right?
Atlanta.
Yeah, so, he was drafted in 2015. So he's played a lot of games.
Yeah.
He is a tested, experienced pro. But even though a limited starter, he was a second-round pick back in the day. It's not like he doesn't have any tools. But he is a backup.
Yeah, my only, and obviously I'm going to defer to Brad because he knows more than I do about the position, but my only thing is if he's played more on the right side and Kelly has played, has filled in on the left side for Lawan before, why not just do the swap? That's the only reason I was looking at it that way, but if the Titans feel, and Brad obviously feels, it's better just to keep them where they are because Dennis has been playing the right side all year consistently, then I'm going to trust them to do that. It just has to translate on the field, and we're going to find out. They're going to get, trial by fire. You go up against J.J. Watt, now you're going to go up against T.J. Watt this Sunday against the Steelers.
We'll start the third hour with Charlie Batch, former longtime quarterback in the league, former Steelers quarterback, now part of their broadcast team. We'll learn about this 5-0 Pittsburgh team who just dominated the Browns this past Sunday. But they're coming to town, and it's a clash of two 5-0 teams. We'll talk to Charlie Batch next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.